One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Hell, yeah, what else can I say?
And it's another episode of our little rinky-dink show here. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ryan. That's Dave and Bobby.
Yeah, I heard we have every other episode is pretty good.
That's right. According to the powers that be, I'm fine with that ratio.
Yeah, 50%.
Yeah, it's not bad. In baseball, we'd be killing it.
Yeah, batting 500, we're the best baseball player ever.
I'm sore right now. I have this neighbor. You guys know that I'm very proud of my Irish heritage.
Yes,
I'm very traditional, except when it comes to going to church, because boring. But
by the way, being proud of being Irish is a little weird. I got some Irish blood in me too, and I always found the Irish pride weird. It's like we really love potatoes and alcoholism. That's
what's wrong with that. Yeah. That's part of it.
You get French fries, you get potato chips, you get baked potatoes.
They don't even do French fries. It's a different thing.
By the way, Irish love potatoes, love drinking. Didn't discover vodka, alcohol made from potatoes. How do we fucking miss that?
Not only that, but like, what did the Irish do before? Because like, potatoes come from the Americas. They're from South America. Like, so what did the Irish do before that for the entire time?
Shut your mouth. We invented potatoes.
Their culture up to that point, what were the Irish doing for the couple thousand years?
Hitting carrots, oddly enough.
Hitting their wife, probably. Anyway, so I have a neighbor who's very, very proud of his heritage. It is Irish and Nordic Viking. He is a mix of the two, and he is very proud of
anybody
both of those.
Anybody with Viking is definitely going to be proud of that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
First of all, everybody in Europe pretty much has Viking. They took over everything. If you're English, Norwegian, any of the Scandinavian.
A lot of raping going on.
There was a lot of raping. They established entire islands of just raping. That's what Iceland is. It's just where the Vikings went to rape.
Yeah,
rape
islands. And he's very proud of that, too. Just rape with this guy. He's always like, hey, come on over to the rape party. I'm like, I'll pass. But anyways, I had a show last night. I was headlining at Winston's in Ocean Beach.
Oh, fun spot.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, though. I like to hang afterwards. Aaron was turning in early because he had a photo shoot first thing this morning. So I wanted to hang. But every time with Winston's, everyone just goes home. So anyways,
the thing with that is because normally there's a band playing right after the comedy.
Right.
And you don't want to fucking stick around for that bullshit. But now they're so conditioned to it that even if there's nothing happening, everyone's just used to leaving. Like,
So I really had nothing to do. I stopped by to see my buddy's band at the Tower Bar near your apartment. Yeah. And then I get a call from my neighbor. He says, we're drinking. And I'm like, all right. I mean, it's literally three doors down from my house. I can park my car at home, walk over, get buzzed, and then go to sleep at my own house. It's a great idea. I get over there, and they are having a fucking Viking party. Their wives are nowhere to be seen. It's all his fucking big Nordic friends. They're all shirtless. They're wearing kilts. They're drinking out of...
What the fuck?
And so anyways, and they're belting each other across the back too. Like they're playing beer pong, and every time they lose, they're like taking their big fucking bare hands and just palming the back of each other's backs. And they're like, hey, this is Ryan. He's okay. He's one of us. Hey, go get slapped so you can start drinking. I'm like, all right, I'm game. I'm a win in Rome kind of guy.
Sure.
So I take this big palm to the back. Anyway, so then this motherfucker, this huge bear of a man, he's got just like these tribal tattoos all over his chest and shit. He's got the big long Nordic beard. He goes, hey, you want to wrestle? And I said, yes.
And then, all right, now this is kind of sounding like fun. All right.
So then he throws me like a teddy bear to pavement. I land right on my elbow. I'm surprised it's not all Groob style fucked up. And then I get back up and they're like, all right, you lost. You have to fight another guy. So then I start fighting another guy.
Reverse King of the Hill.
So we do that for a while. I get all fucked up. I think my finger is broken. Nice. And then all of a sudden, after we're done, he goes, all right, everyone in the pool. Like, we ran in the backyard and jumped in the pool with our clothes on. And I woke up at home.
See, that's the type of college fun I miss. I miss the, we're going to get super drunk, loud and rowdy, and then wrestle like crazy. Like, that's just good old time fashion fun.
And then it wasn't fun for me when I realized my jiu-jitsu leaves a lot to be desired these days. I'm like, I'm a former amateur fighter. I should not have lost anything. And it was like, even the guy with that I beat, it was hard.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite part about being in college. We talked before about being in the frat last week. There's always someone someone down to wrestle, someone down to fight. And my favorite thing was back when I was in college, way back in the hinterlands of the early aughts, I guess, nobody knew jiu-jitsu. Nobody had heard of it.
Right.
And the slight amount that I had from judo and from hapkido allowed me to easily beat 300-pound D1 offensive lineman, which was awesome because you never feel like more of a superhero than slapping the world's easiest triangle on a guy who could crush you with his hands.
You know, I feel a little insecure lately now that jiu-jitsu is becoming like everyone's fad hobby. Like on Facebook, just like people my wife works with are just, you know, some mom of two is like, got my blue belt today. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh shit, is everyone getting good at this? Do I have to go back into MMA just to hang with society?
Before it was like literally knowing some kind of secret, like a Bruce Lee secret from a 1980s movie. I remember at one point we had a guy visiting from our same fraternity from a different school who was a high level D1 wrestler. And I immediately slapped an armbar on him. Not that I have any good armbar. My armbar is total bullshit. Anybody with a white belt could avoid it. But nobody knew what jiu-jitsu was back then. And if you had a slight base in judo, you could literally out-grapple anybody.
Yeah, everyone is like literally, every group of friends I have, they're all like, yeah, we roll on Mondays and Wednesdays over at Gracie Poway. I'm like, oh, god damn it. Anyways, Dave, we were talking about this a little earlier. Is there's this... I thought he was my friend. This guy that he...
First mistake.
He was talking about Dave, by the way.
It's another comic I know, and every time I see him, we have a nice talk. He's a lot newer to the game than I am. Like, he came to me for advice when he first started, and every time I see him, we have a nice conversation. And then all of a sudden, it gets back to me like, oh, man, that guy has the worst things to say about you when you're not around.
He can't wrestle for shit. His jiu-jitsu is subpar.
I heard he drinks with Vikings.
I threw this guy down like it was nothing.
Yeah, it just like, all of a sudden, multiple people come to me saying like, yeah, every time like your name comes up, he's like, that guy isn't even a comic. He's not even a bar comic. Now, I'm no stranger.
Meanwhile, Shores is headlining bars, basically.
I'm no stranger to people talking shit in comedy. In fact, that's most of what goes on.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't even hurt anymore. Even this, from someone that, you know, I thought was, you know, I was good with, even that doesn't hurt anymore. You have to build up such a callus to overhearing, like, nobody respects you. No one. You have to build up for that. But it's strange to me how someone can go out of their way to come to me for advice.
Right, it's weird how he masks it.
Yes.
And he does this with everybody. It's to the point where, like, it doesn't even matter because you know he talks shit about every single person.
Yeah.
I know he talks shit about me. I just don't care. It's like you're saying, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just so weird that... he seems like he's friendly.
Right. It's like he goes out of his way to be nice to you.
He's very cordial.
Can I ask you this, Dave? Is there anybody that he specifically speaks highly of and doesn't talk trash about?
If so, I've never.
You.
Oh, interesting.
Wouldn't that be weird?
No, I was going to say, like, find the person he doesn't talk trash about and then figure out what's wrong with that guy. Because, like, something's going on.
No, if he has ever said a good word about anyone, I have not heard it. And that's
normally, it's like... people who have quote-unquote sort of made it in comedy, guys from L.A., like, not all of them, but there's certain ones that come down to the club that he's just like, enamored with. Like, he loves their style, and he thinks they're amazing, and...
Okay, so there are people that are on the black side of the ledger.
What's weird is when I hear from people that, like, oh, yeah, that guy doesn't respect you at all. It's weird coming from a person that would trade places with me in a fucking heartbeat career-wise, or just any-wise.
Absolutely.
It's always strange. You know what? And I think it is my fault... because I went against my own rule, which is if you hang out with someone that has never said a good word about anyone who's not present, that's happening with you. You know it.
Yeah.
But in the back of my head, I'm like, no. That's
not me.
Not me, though. I'm the one person on earth this person doesn't speak poorly of.
He's also, I don't know why this is weird to me. It shouldn't be weird. But just because he's so nice, it's weird to me that he is an admitted misogynist. Like, he will tell you that he thinks women comics are not funny.
Yeah, okay.
Like, almost across the board.
All right.
Any chick, he's like, oh, God, she's horrible.
Well, now he's back on my good side, though.
That's funny. I don't know this person the way you guys know this person, and so I only see the like good side, the right. side where they're like saying really nice things to you and stuff. So I'm just gonna go on ignorantly thinking that's all that's ever said about me.
Yeah, no, that's a, you know, it's a good place to live. Yeah. I am through seeking out what people say about me because right. I never like the answer. Yeah, I don't go looking for snakes anymore.
Maybe what your tactic should be is using his own tactics against him. So then you go up and like you just wait for him to leave the room. You're like, man, does he suck at talking trash about people?
Or I could just or I could like talk about him on a podcast every time he listens to.
Either way,
Bobby, actually, he has said about you uh-huh. on numerous occasions, you are never going to be the king of pranks.
Oh! Oh! An enemy you have made, sir.
So, Bobby, you were telling me recently you had a little run-in with some evangelicals.
It was very interesting. I've loved having religious people come to my door since I was a teenager. I love talking to them because I love bringing them in and just being like, all right.
Do you like patronizing them or talking to them?
Now, time out. I'm familiar with Mormons.
Right.
Are evangelicals different?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. So evangelicals are Christians. The evangelical movement began in the 19th century. It's the biggest...
Is it the same thing, though?
No. They okay. are fire and brimstone people. They are the... Yeah. And you will burn on the lake of fire if you do not repent. So
that's more of a Pentecostal, but...
Pentecostal is drinking turpentine and playing with rattlesnakes.
George W. Bush was the patron saint of evangelical Christians.
So really dumb.
Usually it's born again, and... There's a couple of things.
So you can't be born into it. You got to go out and fuck around a little bit and then come back.
It's a specific trend within Protestantism. And I always loved having these people come around, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, evangelicals. When I was young, during summer, that was one of my favorite things. When the doorbell would ring and I'm like, oh, it's another one. I hope it's not a salesperson.
What a sad childhood you
had. Yeah, I know. We didn't have cable. It was horrible. So I would bring them in. And I to me, it was a great study in the individual psychology of people. Because I'd be like, I'll listen to what you have to say and I'll talk to you everything. I'm more interested in what is motivating you to get up this morning, put on that suit, walk around in 89 degree heat, and talk about something that once you get into it, they really have no basis or understanding of. And so to me, it was always a really interesting study in psychology where you just ask a few questions and be like, okay, well, tell me what it is that you like about this. Interesting. So why do you believe this? And eventually you can get to a point where they're like, yeah, I don't know. I gotta go. I gotta leave.
Yeah.
But I give them water. I give them lemonade. I'm very cordial.
But is there?
I show them my dick.
Yeah.
I say, what do you think of this?
Is it pretty much
Jesus
the same,
loves this shit?
Is it pretty much the same pitch as Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, those are all very different religions.
But is it the same pitch? Like, hey, come be part of our religion.
Yes.
Is it same?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's, okay. So they started. I live in a duplex, and my brother and sister all live next door. They were gone, and I saw these two people come up and start knocking on their door, and I was like, maybe I should go out and tell them. And you guys know I have one of those like wrought iron metal doors outside of my regular wood
I'm honestly disappointed that your first reaction wasn't to get out your blowgun and try to get them.
No. I'm very friendly to these people. And so
until they cross me.
Yeah, exactly. So they did something that is always perturbing to me, which is they come up and they do the incredibly hard knock on the metal door, which sounds like you're being raided by the fucking SWAT team.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
super loud.
There's no call for this. First of all, I am 3 feet away.
That knock is reserved for emergencies.
Yes. Yeah, that is either A, I'm about to violently shit myself and I need in this house immediately, or B, your house is on fire, get your kids out.
That is like breaking the glass for a fire axe because you need to do a little gardening and you can't find your shears.
Yeah. So I get this thing, which of course my son is sitting right next to me. He's, you know, 15 months old. He starts screaming because it sounds like we're getting fucking invaded by the Gestapo. So automatically I'm a little peeved at them, but I go and I open the wood part of the door and they're through the metal screen. And it was this older Asian woman. And she was like, hey, I wanted to know if you had ever read the Bible. And I was honest. I said, yeah, I read it cover to cover multiple times. And she went, oh, you did? Okay. So you're a Christian. I was like, no, I'm not. I read the Bible.
I answered that question.
I read it a bunch of times. And normally that usually is where the conversation ends. We just kind of part ways. I go, oh, okay, well, I stay cool in the heat and I'll see you later. But she was very insistent. And with her was an older white dude. And she goes, wait, you're not.
That was her pimp, right?
Yeah.
He was wearing a big Technicolor dream coat and one of those big hats from Soulfly.
Come on, let me get you into some Christianity today. She persisted, and she was like, well, you know, how could you deny it? And I was like, well, I just don't think it's very morally acceptable. I think that a lot of what that book has to say is pretty morally disgusting. It wouldn't really work out. But I respect that you guys are out doing your thing.
I admire your tenacity.
Yeah, have fun and the whole nine yards. Normally, I would have actually invited them in for a glass of water or whatever, but they just woke up my kid who's now screaming in the face. And so I'm just trying to get them off the front porch.
Right.
And she
released the hounds.
Yeah.
And she digs down and she's like, well, it's, you know, you need the Bible. Otherwise, you can't be a moral person. I was like, all right. Let's just start with this question. Let's just start with this. And if you can answer this, I'll totally buy it.
What is the airspeed velocity of a rain swallow?
No, I go, okay, good or bad, slavery. What's your opinion, good or bad? And she's like, it's bad. I was like, boom, we're better than the book.
Boom, there you go. I have three slaves in here. I cannot be part of whatever you got going on.
I'm like, yeah, look, here, the Bible clearly says that slavery is not only allowed, God tells you how to make a slave. You have to go through a specific process to make this person your property. I think that's morally reprehensible. And she goes, well,
that'd be a great children's book, how to make a slave.
Technically, first, that's what the Bible is.
First, you got to brainwash them, groom them.
And the guy was triped up from behind her, and he's like, no, that's not the Bible. And I was like, wait, yeah, it is. It's the Bible. And he's like, no, you must have misread it. And I was like, do you got the Bible right there? And he's like, yeah. I was like, Exodus 21. Pull it out right now. And he pulls it out, and I was like, now read it. And I made him read it out loud on the porch, and he's like, and then you should put an awl through the ear of a slave. Oh, goddamn.
Like, holy shit, what else is in here?
It was great, because as he's going through, she starts yelling like, no, you have to have the context. And I was like, is there a context where it's okay to enslave somebody? And at this point now, they're playing bad cop, confused cop. it's the worst shakedown ever. Because again, I'm not even trying, like, I get it. People are allowed to believe whatever they want. I'm not trying to attack these people or take their faith away. Legitimately, I am trying to get them off my front porch so I can now calm my son down, who's still screaming about their ridiculous door knocking tactics. And so I was like, hey, well, I mean, so basically you're giving instructions on slavery. There's no context that would make that moral. Therefore, that book is immoral. And if there is that God, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that book is real in any sense of the word, but if it was, why would we worship this God who is telling us? Why wouldn't you just worship the devil? I mean, it seems like the devil's also saying bad things. Well, how are you differentiating between the two? Then they start fighting between themselves because they can't agree on the proper answer to give.
And Bobby's just like holding his hands in his face. He's so excited he caused this.
Yeah, well, so she starts yelling, the Bible doesn't say that. And then he starts yelling, well, it says that, but that's not what it means. She turns to him and yells, it doesn't say that. And he's like, well, no, it says it right here. And they're like, now they're fighting. And I feel like while they're talking, there's a little version of me on my shoulder, like, yeah, get madder, yeah.
Angel and devil, Bobby.
Yeah, I like it.
Devil and devil, Bobby.
Anyway, so my favorite ending to one of these things ever is they're both bickering at each other and then at me through the screen door and then at each other and then back at me. And I basically end with, well, listen, if you figure out an answer to this whole slavery question, I'm happy to talk to you guys about it later. But until then, it's kind of a disqualification in my mind. So maybe this bit. And before I can even finish,
he put an awl through your ear and made you a slave.
Now you have to be a Christian. Boom, king of pranks. She turns about faces, walks by, like just walks away, super flustered. He starts chasing her, yelling, wait, we still have more houses.
It is always infuriating to me.
It was the best one I've ever had.
It's always infuriating to me with the door-to-door people, whether it be a salesman or a religious nut, when they either can't or refuse to acknowledge the fact that they've caused some sort of disturbance. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's just a different personality type that would allow themselves to go house to house. Because for me, you guys know this, when I invite you over, there's a clause, please don't knock on my door. I know you're coming. I'm not going to be naked. Just walk in, because when you knock on my door, my dogs go fucking apeshit and it is impossible to calm them down.
Right.
So all my friends know, if I invite you over, just walk in. Only knock if you're dropping by unexpectedly. So when people knock on my door to sell me shit or to convert me to a different lord, my dogs start going apeshit. And the thing is, It's such a difference in personality that, like, if I knocked on someone's door and all of a sudden I heard on the other side, and they're poking their head out the door like, what? I would be like, oh my God, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I will leave immediately and never come back. I am sorry about that. But these people have no problem the fact that I'm like struggling with two dogs, like, hi, how's it going? We're talking about aluminum siding right now. And what, you know, I think if you look at these brochures, I'm like, and so this
one. If you know anything about sales, you got to stick to the script, man.
I know, I got to stick to that script.
Well, you bring up a really good point, which is that when it comes, especially when it comes to sales, over and all of our studies show that sociopaths do really well in sales positions for that exact reason.
Yeah, they have absolutely no shame.
Because they're charismatic, they're able to mimic your emotions and stuff, but they don't feel those negative effects of like, oh, no, right. Now, I would differentiate between them and the religious people because, to be fair, I just think the religious people have a bad idea. They've gotten it wrong. And so if you really believed that, if I went to your door and knocked on your door and I heard those dogs barking, I was like, well, I'm sorry I've rousted his dogs, but I'm going to save his eternal soul, right? To you, you are still doing a favor. It'd be the equivalent of, again, if your house was on fire and I drove by and saw it, if I went and knocked on your door and I heard the dogs barking, I'm like, well, I guess it sucks that the dogs are barking, but his house is on fire. I need to get him out of there.
Right, right, right. Well, I had this incident about 3 weeks ago. All right, so like you said, I had the SWAT team knocking on my door at 8 a.m. on a Sunday.
Oh, it should be illegal.
Sunday. I think it might be.
Yeah.
So I am dead asleep. I had two shows the night before. I am fucking out. And so all of a sudden at 8 a.m., my dogs start going chaotic. There's pounding at my door. I'm like, if this is a motherfucking salesman. So I go out shirtless.
If I had frantic knocking on my front door at 8 a.m. that I wasn't expecting, I would immediately think it was the cops. That's the only logical explanation.
And so I make in my mind right now, I am going to scare whoever this is, right. All right? The person on the other side of this door better look like Francis Naganu if he's not going to be intimidated by me and what I'm about to do.
It's his Viking name. Yeah, when Ryan opens the door, he slaps him.
Picks him up, throws him on the ground.
Want some mead? So anyway, I hold my dogs back. I go bursting to the door, slam it behind me. The dogs are fucking... So I have a look of murder on my face.
Right.
I am shirtless, and I've been going to the gym a lot lately. So I am in my full wrestler stance, and this guy, he's like a little blonde guy, like 23 years old, and first of all, he wouldn't say who he was. He wouldn't stay this business, which it pissed me off. That's a sales tactic, like, right. Oh, don't say that you're a salesman, they won't open the door.
Right.
So I'm like, who the fuck is it? He's like, it's Mike. I'm like, Mike who? Mike. I'm like, what do you want, Mike? I'm like, you son of a bitch. So I go,
are you here to give me the $20 you owe me?
Yeah. So I fucking burst the door. I'm like, what? What could you possibly want? He's like, we're going door to door. Right? Nothing. There was no fear in his face.
Right.
There was no emotion. He's like, yeah, we're actually in the area. We're exterminators, and we're offering I'm like, you fucking woke me up at Sunday morning at 8 a.m. And this guy's like, well, I couldn't let you pass on this deal here. I'm like, my feelings were so hurt. I'm like, why are you afraid of me?
Yeah.
I came out here. I'm twice your size.
Right.
I'm an intimidating sort, and I could break you in half like a chopstick, and you have no fear in your eyes, you fucking psychopath.
Ryan, please, please tell me that you did not pass up on that deal. That is an amazing deal. Well,
I like the idea if he teamed up with the comic we were talking about earlier and he walked away and he's like, he wasn't that scary.
No,
I was never scared of that guy.
No. Okay, so I'm like, I have an exterminator. He's like, I'm sure you do, but these deals I'm offering, and literally this is how the conversation ended. I went, and ran back to my house and slammed the door. And then I heard this on the other side of the door. All right, I'll just leave my card then. I'm like, yeah. How can you not have any awareness?
Ryan, I think you should have switched to the other tactic you have, which I really do enjoy and I think is really good. Now, I understand you're probably too angry to do this at the time, but as soon as he's like, well, we're going door to door through the neighborhood, and you'd be like, you know, it'd be a great venue for you to promote this business, a podcast commercial. And then you start pitching him.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what I do, is every time someone tries to sell me something, I try and sell them ad space on this show, and suddenly they're not in a position to buy anything.
And then it'd be even better if you actually followed him around every door he went to, and then as the person opened the door, he starts giving his pitch, and you chime in, don't you think you would get this pitch a lot better if it was in a podcast format?
Or I could just like go around scaring the other neighbors. Just, like he comes to their door like, we're offering Terminex service right now. And I come running up shirtless like, you want to start the ruckus? You want to start the ruckus?
I just think it'd be funny because at some point he's going to turn to you and be like, come on, guy, it's Sunday morning. Leave me alone.
You should have put your arm around him and said, hey, I know who needs your help, and walked over to the Viking's house. Welcome to the Viking up. And when the Viking opens, they'll be like, hey, he's one of us.
Now slap him so he can start drinking. So, Bobby, we were talking a little bit about the born-agains, and I want to go back to that because I've noticed that there's some people that exist. There's a large amount of them, too, that either they're really excited to get to the repenting part of life without having done anything. I'll give you an example. It exists in Christianity, too, but I've seen this a lot in people that grew up with parents in AA, is they want to emulate their parents. I grew up with this girl, perfect example. Her mom, like, from the time she was born, was like a every night AA person, you know, always talking about her blue book, you know, that was her life. And, like, this girl, when she was, like, 16, went out and got drunk, I think, twice, and then, you know, entered herself into rehab and then AA. I'm like, you just wanted to get to the AA part so you could be like your mom. And like, that's the romantic part of you. Like, yeah, my days of drinking. I'm like, both of them?
Right.
But like, so anyways, I think that exists sometimes in Christianity. These people, they grow up, they love the Lord, they love, but I think that they see these born-agains like, oh, that's where the real hardcore is, you know? Like, I have to be able to say that I was saved from a life of debauchery. So like they go out and they do the essentially the same thing. They like, I don't know, have a beer and they go, I need to repent.
Well, it's even funnier because you can watch the born again conversions online of 5-year-olds, literally 5-year-olds, and they go up and they renounce their sins and stuff. But one of the things you have to understand,
stole a crayon. What did they renounce?
Well, the underlying philosophy of that particular theology is that you are born sin,
original
a sinner.
Sin.
You have the original sin from Adam and Eve. You just by having thoughts have sinned.
Which, time out, that sounds like a design flaw. So isn't this all God's fault anyway?
Yeah, it is kind of a... It is a guy who, like, made a bench poorly, and then when it broke, just started screaming at the bench that it was bad.
Well, I had a very similar experience growing up Catholic. So I grew up Irish Catholic. And we didn't do Sunday school. My Bible school was once a week, Thursdays after school. So I'd go to the place where we went to Mass, Sacred Heart, and then, you know, you'd spend an hour doing what's called catechism.
Yeah, and the catechism. Catholics, they have their own form of catharsis, where instead of doing the big born-again procedure where you're relieved of your sins, every week you go into the guy who's probably touching kids
right,
and tell him all the stuff you've done wrong.
Oh, that only happened...
He was just looking for an angle to get in with you.
Look, man, that's only happened like 2 or 3 dozen times. So
it's actually... By the way, 4%, the minimum numbers are 4% of priests are accused of molesting kids, which is insanely high. It means about 1 out of every 20 priests you run into has been accused of diddling a kid. There's probably twice as many who've done it.
Oh, God. Anyway, so what happened with me is when the time comes to do your first confession and first Holy Communion, you're like 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
You're like, so anyways, for our first Holy Confession, it's a big deal. They brought me in, and the thing is, I know this is hard to believe, but I was a pretty good kid. I was scared of my dad, and so I really kept my nose clean. I didn't do anything wrong until I was like 16. We didn't get to go in the little booth, the little anonymous thing with the sliding door.
Right.
They just brought us into the priest's office that looked like my principal's office.
Right.
You sat across from a desk, and then he asked like an 8-year-old, all right, confess your sins.
Yeah.
I didn't have shit to say.
Right.
I was like racking my brain. I was told there was this big lead up to this whole thing. They're like, okay, only 3 more weeks, guys, to your big first holy confession.
Yeah.
It's gonna change your life. And I was like, all right, game time, you know? And then it wasn't until I got in there, I'm like, oh shit, I'm 8 years old. I haven't done anything yet.
It'd be funny if in those 3 weeks he just started trying to accumulate sins to confess to.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm sitting there and they're like, we're not letting you leave till you confess your sins. So
he just grasped me. He's like, I killed a guy.
So that's what I did. I made up shit. So my first sin on this earth was lying to a priest who was insisting I admit some shit that I hadn't done.
Dude,
so I'm
hilarious.
Like, I stole something from my friend. What'd you steal? I'm like, slinky, and I set fire to my school. You set fire to your school? Oh, too far, too far. Okay, I didn't do that. Never mind. I just was making up shit. He's like, all right, Hail Mary, full of grace. All right, you're fine. Get out of here. I'm like, all right, now I got one more. I fucking just lied to you about all that stuff.
I want to see, like, disheveled 8-year-old Shores come in smoking a cigarette. He's like, all right, well, I beat my first wife. And then...
Dude, I was raised the good kind of Catholic where my mom would, like, pick and choose what parts of the religion actually mattered.
Right.
Like, I think that's the best way to do it, to tell you
like,
the
truth. Like, during Lent, you know, I'm a kid. I forget shit. Like, you can't even eat on Friday, so I had pizza one night. And my mom's like, oh, honey, God doesn't care if you have meat on Friday. I'm like, oh, I like this. Is actually pretty good.
Yeah, right?
Like, I was in catechism, and I remember one week we were doing some exercise where I had to write down all the commandments we could remember. And so I wrote down, as I'm writing them, there's one of them, I forget what number it is, but keep holy the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my dad's an old rocker. He went to all the concerts, all albums that I grew up with. So I wrote down, not thinking I had it wrong, I wrote down, keep holy the Black Sabbath.
Oh, God.
And when the nun came by to check, she's like, that's not it.
By the way, it sounds like you also had a pretty nice nun, because from what I remember, the nuns just beat you. When that
happened. Yeah, I would have gotten the business end of a yardstick.
I had the opposite Catholic family. Thankfully, my particular immediate family had kind of realized it was a little weird and distanced themselves, still went to church, but my extended family, cousins and stuff, were so insanely Catholic. Here's a couple of true facts about them. Number one, out of all my cousins, two of them are priests. They actually went to church so often that when my grandfather, who was living with them, got sick, they got a special dispensation from the Catholic Church in Rome to build an official Catholic church on their house because it was taking too much time to drive to and from church. It's not like the Protestants where you can just build a church. You have to get it ordained from somebody in Rome. They're the only home in the United States that is christened as an official Catholic church. Because they were driving to church too much. It was too much time. My aunt and uncle counsel married couples, not unmarried couples, married Catholic couples about not having sex unless they are actively trying to have a child.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's part of it.
They are so Catholic that they protest, not abortion clinics, which they do, and they all have their pictures of them getting arrested protesting outside of abortion clinics. They protest Vatican II, which is when the Catholic Church decided to stop doing the masses in Latin.
Yeah,
they protest the Catholic Church for not being Catholic enough.
These are the kind of people that are going to break off and form their own splinter religion.
Yes, they are.
I have an aunt like that. She's just super hardcore Catholic, you know, the whole deal. She has three kids, all adults now, two biological, one adopted. And I suspect the one's adopted because she didn't want to have sex a third time.
Might be another relief again.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm working with in my family.
Now, going back to your original tactic that started this whole story where you debate them, I love that. And that's what I would want to do. But then there's part of me who's like, I would just want to be like, okay, I convert, you win. And then just close, like, there's no paper anything, right? We're done here? Okay, goodbye.
Hey,
I'm eventual now, goodbye.
I mean, that is true. And normally, you know, that's actually probably a good tactic. I will say, though, I was pretty pleased as punch with the way mine
ended. Absolutely. Yeah,
I had never seen it happen where they had started fighting each other. And
I'm going to do this. No, I'm sold. Next religious nut that shows up my door, I'm going to agree too quick. Like, have you heard the good news? I'm like, all right, I'm on board. Like, yes. I haven't told you anything yet. No, it doesn't matter. I'm in.
It'd be even better if you just whip out your keys, step outside, lock your door. All right, where are we going to next? Let's get the next guy. Let's go. And then when the next guy opens the door, you're like, you're going to be fucking Catholic now!
Not to take a sharp turn from organized religion, but planning a bachelor party right now. For
the modern day religion.
I'm doing it for the unofficial fourth degenerate John Groobs. And dude, here's the thing about doing this is you absorb your friend's friend's drama from this.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Here was the first thing. Here's the first way I knew I was in trouble. First of all, Groob's one of my best friends, but he is, and he'll admit this, a master procrastinator. He is just, that's his jam, dude.
Right.
Let me just say this. It's 2 months to his wedding, and he's not done shit but book the venue, and I think that's it. So anyways, he hasn't gotten the groomsmen suits together, nothing. So we're getting close to this bachelor party. I'm like, all right, I need your invite list in the next couple of days for your bachelor party. He just texts me immediately back, which shows he put no thought into it. There was like five names on there. I'm like, I know our group of friends, and you've excluded a bunch. So I had to be like, what about this guy? Oh, yeah, for sure. how about this guy? Like, oh yeah, him too. But still, there was like a ton still left off.
Right.
So, I'm like, all right, man, it's not my bachelor party. I'm not going to fucking hold his hand through this.
Now,
so,
a real quick interjection. He's an East Coast guy. Do you have to deal with people coming from the East Coast for the bachelor party?
No.
Or he just left him off the list?
I don't think he thought of it. I think he's going to get... Luckily, they're all people that don't know me.
There you go.
I've already had three people like, so what the fuck, man? I'm not invited to the bachelor party. I'm like, I you probably are. I just have a guy who puts zero thought into his fucking bachelor party. So like, I already had to like explain to three fucking friends, and that's just so far.
Yeah.
So I'm like, three friends. I'm like, dude, he does like you. He just fucking forgot. He just didn't put any thought into it. Like, he didn't invite half our band that we're in together. At first, I'm like, you're not going to invite them? Like, oh, yeah, for sure. So there's that. Also, the powers that be, our wives, mine and John's, I think they had this idea in their head that I couldn't plan a good bachelor party without strippers. And that was like, ooh, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
So I had the task of doing this with absolutely no female entertainment whatsoever.
Yep.
So what I did was...
Male strippers, good call.
But I looked at this list, and half of them don't do drugs. Half of them only do drugs. So I'm like, God damn it, I had to find this. So I think I came up with a perfect little way to include everyone. And some people don't make big bucks, to be honest.
Right.
So I can't, like, you know, at the end of the night, we're going to end up like pitching in on a really expensive cabin in the woods. So, you know, I know not everyone's in that position, but I don't want to exclude them. So I did a little ramp-up situation.
Oh.
Morning, brunch. Anyone can attend that for fucking $7, $8, right? Then rent out a virtual reality arcade.
Ooh.
So that's number two. So now
that's
people,
awesome.
Yeah, people that are sober and don't drink, they can they're still in for like two things.
Mm-hmm.
That and by the way, renting out that arcade between the 15 of us, $20 each for 2 hours. So then after that, jet ski rental. I found a place. So then we go right from the virtuality to reality.
That's like $100 for a few hours, right?
Yeah, $100 for 2 hours each ski. So like, I still got all the sober people on board, maybe the people that don't make a few dollars have tapered off at this point, and that's when, afterwards, we go up to the fucking, the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and we trip on shrooms. That's our fucking plan.
And that is a great bachelor party. I commend you for this.
I like how it's structured like Scientology. You're kind of like weeding out the broke people, and then you end up at Sea Org in the cavern, going to convert everybody.
Yeah,
these mushrooms.
You've reached Tom Cruise level. Congrats. Congratulations!
Yeah, that's an awesome setup for a bachelor party, and a great way to end it too, because that is a very bonding experience for a whole bunch of people to go up into the woods and do mushrooms.
But
now,
but I'm still waiting for the people that even I'm forgetting to be like, what the fuck, man? I'm not invited.
That's okay. It just brings the cost down for everybody else. It's good. That's a good overall way to do it. And I do like the kind of varied activities too, which is really fun because there are people who are only going to be able to go for like 2 hours, right? They can't do the whole night thing.
Right.
So might as well have something for everybody. That's awesome.
Here's the twist. The virtual reality, that's going to be the jet ski and the cabin. Shores is going to pocket the extra money.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to think they went and did that stuff.
I'm going to feed them shrooms, leave them in the virtual reality arcade for overnight, and that's when I go, release the zombies. They'll love it. Now, Bobby, I am nervous, though. I am nervous, and this is why I really need you to come with me on the trip here,
right.
Is, as we've talked before, I have very limited experience with psychedelics.
Yes.
I took them once, and I did it wrong, remember?
Yep.
I laughed at Unsolved Mysteries for 2 hours.
You did it right before you were going to bed.
And then I went to sleep and had a dream that TJ Miller's head was on spider legs and chasing me, but it wasn't a dream. I was awake. I was like, turn the TV back on. So anyways.
I'm going to go up and be your guide in the mountains.
Right. So I'm very nervous, and for those listening that may have always been curious about psychedelics, but been too nervous, like me, because I freak out on weed. That's my problem.
Right.
What happens if the anxiety takes over and I start to panic or freak out, or what would you do in that instance? Well, what would you do for me, and what should I do myself?
First of all, you got to be in a good spot. So that's the number one thing, is you got to start off by doing it in the right place. You know, so we're going to be up away from a bunch of people. We're in this cabin in the middle of the woods, right? That's key, because you don't have to see people you don't want to. You're only surrounded by your friends. So number one, you're doing it in a good place. Number two, you're doing it in a place where you have some kind of home base. So one of the mistakes people make is they go out camping in the woods, and they're like, I'm going to do mushrooms. It's okay if it's your second or third time, but if that's your first time, you don't want your home base to be a tent that you rarely use. You're going to have a sweet room that you can go into and lay down on a bed if you need to. So you have these kind of backups that make you mentally more stable.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going to be there to help you through it and help you help talk you through it if something bad happens, because I've seen people start to have bad trips. It's very easy to come out of a bad trip if you have the right people around you.
Right.
Because Yeah, because you got to focus and you got to remember one thing going into the entire thing and throughout the entire thing. Mushrooms have never killed a single person.
Okay.
You're not going to die. You're just fine. And in a couple hours, it's going to wear off anyway. This is all just your mind reacting in a different way to different substances. And as long as you keep that in mind and have somebody there who can kind of reinforce that and you got some safe spaces, you're going to have a great time. I've even had the beginning of bad trips myself, and I've just talked myself right back into the good side. And nothing is better than a good mushroom trip.
Fucking cut to me dead in the hospital and Bobby going, mushroom allergies, yeah, right? I forgot.
Of course.
Yes, that will kill you. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. I wish I could go because I would be a backup Sherpa as well because I've done so many mushrooms and I'm, you know, with Bobby I'm on all that shit, all that stuff. Now, the thing is, I can't go. Bobby, I'm actually going to go up there. Oh. While you guys are in the woods, I'm going to get a hockey mask and a hatchet and I'm going to find these guys and make it a real weekend to remember.
Oh, it's going to be great. There's going to be camping and hiking and running through the woods on mushrooms. Everybody's going to have a blast. Groups, you're going to have the best bachelor party of anybody ever.
Hopefully.
And by the way, Ryan, you're about to experience what I experienced recently. Going to the same cabin, by the way, for a bachelor party that I planned. Well, we did not do mushrooms, but going to that same cabin, which is the downside of being the best man. Not only do you have to plan everything, you usually get the upfront cost. And if Groups' friends are anything like my buddy's friends, the week of, you'll have three people pull out and be like, oh, okay, yeah, sorry, I can't make it. It's like, you understand we've allotted a certain amount of money per person. This is actually a cost thing at this point. Yeah, I can't make it.
Maybe I should get that money up front is what you're saying.
Yes, because there were people who will say like, yeah, I just didn't ask for time off from work. It's like, all right, well, I mean, we got a bigger cabin because we thought you were coming.
Right.
Those are the same people. They're so disaffected by the inconvenience. They're going to go sell shit door to door after they tell you they can't do it.
Yeah. These are like the promoters where I go on an East Coast tour and then all of a sudden they'll like text me the day before like, oh, hey, man, that show's canceled. Like some stuff came up. I'm like, you realize I flew out 3,000 miles and this is the only way I make money is if I do all the fucking shows, right?
Yeah, but we had a cover band show up, and I didn't
want to
play that night.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I had to move some stuff around.
We heard you're not a real comic.
The owner's wife is going to watch some soccer finals from Central Europe there for a while.
Yeah, these people showed up at my front door. I'm religious now. I don't know what's going on. All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby. Before we go, if you want to come and see me do some stand-up, Burning Beard Brewery, that is going to be on August 28th, and it's an El Cajon Burning Beard Brewery. Got some great comics coming out for that one. It's a show that I produce. Also, if you're in for something, some wild entertainment, our good buddy of the show, Mikey Gordon, is doing a wrestling event in La Mesa at Jolton Joe's on August 16th. That's Jolton Joe's at La Mesa. We've been to his wrestling shows many times. They do hardcore matches, thumbtacks, broken glass,
lighting
steel chairs,
shit on fire.
So it is insane. I have no stock in that show. I'm not getting any money to be there. I'm going as a fan. So if you want to go, that's Jolton Joe's in La Mesa. All right, we'll see you next week. Cruising with the Twos. Hey, you want to wrestle?
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
You're gonna be fucking Catholic now!